Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I am your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Now, listen up, listening audience. A recent survey revealed that 38% of people would give up sex for a year if they could go on a trip. But what if you could go on a COVID-safer trip to sunny Jamaica, where sex, sensuality, yes, hedonism is the resort's centerpiece? Let's find out more about hedonism, the resort, from Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, who has just returned. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Nancy, my friend, my colleague. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back always with you.
So you've just returned, thank you, you've just returned from hedonism, and it was a, tell us about it, because you've been going there for 15 years, and it was different this year with COVID, but tell us about how it was different, COVID and travel, and then I want to know more, even more about the resort, some descriptions, and your classes that you give there and all of that. So, but let's start with the restrictions, COVID, and how hedonism handles that.
Well, I was surprised at how organized Jamaica is on travel in and out of the country. They really did have it down. When you book your trip, they just kind of forewarn you that you need to get a visitor's visa to come in, because coming from pretty much most countries, you have to have a negative COVID test. You have to have proof of that before they'll let you even board the plane to get to go to Jamaica.
Yes, so that's a good thing.
So there's a real easy online form to fill out. They send you it's all very smooth in how they do it. You get your test, you take your results with you. You have to show them many times in the process of getting to Jamaica, from boarding in the United States to any connecting flights to when you get to Jamaica, several times before you even can leave the airport. So it's very smooth. They take your temperature when you get there. They have the option of asking you to test again at the airport. And then you it's very smooth. You go get your stuff and you go to your hotel. They do ask that people quarantine at their hotel. So sadly, that puts a lot of limitations on excursions and that sort of thing, unless you're going to be there longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. But when we go to hedonism, we typically don't ever leave the resort. There's just so much happening there.
Of course. And so let's hear about what does happen there. You and I spoke about this in 2017 after you had been to hedonism you're a teacher there and you give classes. And we also spoke about it again in 2018. So I'm familiar with it, but a lot of listeners are not. And this is... it's something that a lot of people are longing for, where there can be this focus on sex and sensuality and hedonism. The result, the definition of hedonism, I think I ought to give that for the listeners.
Okay.
The noun, and it's the pursuit of pleasure, sensual self-indulgence. I like that.
Yes.
And I often comment to my husband that we, especially Saturday nights, we're living a very hedonistic life, and it's just lovely. So,
has such a negative connotation.
Yes.
And really, when you ask each individual person, would you like more pleasure in your life, almost, universally, it's yes. We don't have enough pleasure in life, and life can be hard and challenging. So to be conscious about adding more pleasure to your life and to your relationship, for me, that just makes sense.
People are so anxious these days and so depressed and having such a rough time. So this would be a real, well, hedonism is also called, what is an intimacy oasis. So it is that, isn't it?
Well, that's what my event is called, is the Intimacy Oasis. So that's the courses I teach is regarding mm-hmm. intimate communication, and I teach mm-hmm. them all over the world, but primarily at Hedonism Now. I was teaching them on cruises all over the world, Caribbean, Europe. I've taught in Mexico. I've taught in China. I've taught, you know, all over the U.S. So it's really a couple's intervention, and it can be a very proactive intervention to help couples really learn some techniques of communicating that will help them avoid a lot of the typical pitfalls of relationships.
And that's so useful. So you give classes twice a day at Hedonism. And can you describe a little bit more about the classes that you teach? I love that title, Intimacy Oasis, because don't we all need that? not all of us, but many, many need that.
Well, so. You know, I think that your intimate relationship really should feel like an oasis for
uh-huh.
me. That's the place that you can be the most authentic. You can speak your deepest truth. You can have the most personal, wholehearted interactions. And yet mm-hmm. those are the places oftentimes we suffer the most with shyness or fear of rejection, or, you know, all of those insecurities can crop up. And so with this, intimate program that I've developed over the years, it really helps couples create a safe space in which to divulge their most intimate thoughts in a respectful, safe, accepted way. So both people leave feeling heard and valued. And I just, you know, after counseling couples like you have for so long, you see that that's generally where things start to break down, is when people don't feel heard and they don't feel valued.
That is very true. And what's sort of at the basis of this is, in part, is that people are not really listening to the other. They're maybe thinking about what they're going to say next. And so to be really heard and valued, appreciated, it's so key for an intimate relationship. And people get off track, don't they? Because they get maybe defensive, like if in the communication. You were talking to me yesterday about the men in your classes, and that is a common thread that many men feel defensive when a partner criticizes them. Can you speak about that, Dr. Nancy?
Yes, I'd love to. In our classes, we do many different styles of practice, from a touch practice to a sensual expression practice to a fantasy practice. So we have all kinds of really fun, sexy practices that we insert into the totality of the oasis, the intimacy oasis. So there's mm-hmm. lots of ways that people can practice this communication style that are also really fun and sexy. So we do merge those two. And one of the things that we talked about that was so universally spoken to by the men was when their partner corrects them, let's say they're in a sexual or intimate situation, and the woman would prefer he touch her more gently somewhere. If she were to say, "I would prefer you touch me gently here," that the men universally would feel defensive, partially because they'd feel embarrassed that they didn't know how to touch their partner. And one of the things that I teach is that you're not supposed to know everything that your partner wants every day of her life, because she's changing. She's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you're on a mission to discover the new discoveries that are occurring right before your eyes. That's what keeps relationships exciting. This is a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. And it's each person's responsibility to know their body, to know what's changing, so they can communicate it to their partner. Because I said to the men, you're not given a woman's body and woman's body parts. You can't possibly know what she needs at this given moment without talking to her or having her show you or her communicating to you. So let yourself off the hook. Women, stop expecting men know exactly how to please you if you don't teach them, and vice versa.
This is very, very important, because there is an expectation that if you're or an assumption, it's both, that if you're really in love, you should know what the other person wants and needs all the time.
Right.
And it's you know, I've said this before, it's like going on a treasure hunt without any clues. And so having sexual communication is it's essential. And so the whole business of he should know, he doesn't have a vulva, he doesn't have a clitoris, he doesn't have a vagina, and he doesn't have this cyclical menstrual cycle, and or maybe the woman is perimenopausal or postmenopausal, and then her hormones are messed up. I mean, there's so many things that can play into the whole responsiveness to sexual touch.
Exactly. And
yeah.
And so I think once we bring a group together and we can talk about this openly, and people aren't shamed for not knowing, and I give them really specific scripts to practice with so that they can get used to using different words and having a different tone. And also they can get used to just being present to listen without needing to respond in any other way other than thank you for sharing that with me. And that, I think that's another critical piece, because in couples, oftentimes when one asks for something or comes to their partner with a request or maybe even a complaint, that the other partner, their defensiveness comes up, their insecurities come up, and then also they feel responsibility to solve the problem right now. And I tell them, this isn't problem solving right now for this problem. This is just presenting, accepting, and then go your separate ways and process. Come back in a few days and do another oasis to solve. But you've got to have time to process, because generally, if I've been thinking for months, maybe even years, that I might like an erotic massage from my partner, but I haven't known how to talk to them about it, I've had years to process that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So when I present it to my partner, it's a brand new thought for them. So they need a little time to wrap their head around it, process it, go away, think about it, go through their feelings, and then come back and we can have a more adult conversation. Then they're proactive rather than reactive. So in this oasis, we talk a lot about how to be the presenter, how to be the audience for that, and then how to use that to make your relationship stronger.
Your classes must be very popular. And what do your students say about the discoveries that they make as a result of your classes, which, as I understand, you give a couple times a day? For what, a couple of hours?
Yes.
And do the same.
Hour
you had
and
four.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you had four couples in your classes this time, right?
Right. We were
limited
because of COVID, the amount of space and the number of people we could have in one space.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, we might have 30 couples. So
I see.
It's, it's oftentimes a much bigger experience.
I would think, though, that the smaller group would enable more intimate sharing among the couples, that they might not be so intimidated by so many people there. It's a more intimate group.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter, though, because the setting is so intimate and we set it up. You know, it's a progressive program generally. So people, you know, really develop a deep connection to each other just being in this sharing kind of environment. So I've really found people to be much more easily opened up because we create such a safe space, no matter how many people are in there, whether it's 2 or 20, doesn't matter. You know, it's like, there's an agreement that's made at the onset of the program of confidentiality, of respect. I mean, we really do set the tone for that so people do feel free to express.
So I may have jumped a little too quickly into the classes that you teach. Let's back up. I want to return to the classes and some of the discoveries that people have, but let's back up a little bit because many people think of hedonism, the resort in Jamaica, is all about swingers. And it is in part, but it's also more. So can you tell us about that part of it?
May I read a testimonial that one of my students just posted this morning?
Just this morning, yes, of course.
Just this morning, yes, from last week. She said, "The surf, sand, and sun, our Hedo experience, a marriage reboot. If I told you that our very first trip to Hedonism 2 saved our marriage, what would you say? Well, whatever your mind may wander to, it's definitely not what you think. Imagine an adventurous couple's vacation combined with tantric yoga therapy." For those unfamiliar with Hedo, she encouraged them to check out their page. We visited Hedo for a week-long Kama Sutra workshop offered by the incredible Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce and her husband, Mark. Please check them out. In their yoga therapy instruction is one of a kind and is absolutely life-changing. Dr. Nancy and Mark guided us into an oasis of connection, intimacy, and renewal. My husband and I see one another an entirely new way. The spark that initially brought us together was reignited again and all in a more profound and powerful way. Our flame rekindled and it cannot be extinguished. Our Hedo experience greatly shifted my consciousness. It has also informed my professional life as I move forward in my life coaching business. Stay tuned. As my husband and I just celebrated 7 years of marriage, this gives an entirely new meaning to the 7-year itch. It's definitely a book in the making. So that's just one, and I've got several others that are writing and have written testimonials that just say it's a marriage saver. And I think, you know, even if people don't come there feeling like their marriage is going to fall apart, once they get there and they learn these skills, they realize how much more their relationship can be.
That's so important because so many people in a marriage get stuck. They're in a rut. The same old, same old, and they don't have good communication skills often. And but to make these couple discoveries, and by the way, that's a beautiful testimonial. Do you post it on your website?
Or I'm going. You? Yes, I do have a testimonial page on my website that I'll be adding these to.
Yeah, I would.
She's put it out.
By the way, listeners, I'll put this in the show notes, but Dr. Nancy's website is drnsp.com. N for Nancy, S for Sutton, P for Pierce. So drnsp.com. And that's, you know, doesn't it make life worth living to have a profession in which you can make such a difference. Such a difference. It's very satisfying to change the course of people's lives and their relationships. And to do it in a setting where clothing is optional. Let's talk about that. And let's talk about the swingers part of it. As you know, the Hedonism website says, be as mild or as wild as you like.
Exactly.
I think that's cute.
It's a no-pressure zone.
Talk about that, Dr. Nancy.
Yeah, it's a no-pressure zone. People don't have to do anything. They can pretty much do anything. So it's all about respect and consent and honoring people around you. So, you know, it is a clothing option. It's adults only, first of all. It's a private resort, so you cannot be on site unless you're staying there. So
that's
very
good.
Particular. Yes. So there's no looky-loos coming in. And it's clothing optional, it's adults only, and it's what they call lifestyle friendly. So people in the lifestyle, which can incorporate swingers, it can incorporate nudists, it can incorporate polyamory, it can incorporate bisexuality, homosexuality, it can incorporate anything other than, you know, pretty much monogamous, straight, vanilla, you know, and those people are welcome too. So it's really an all-encompassing place. Nobody judges you. All bodies, styles, shapes, ages, it just doesn't matter. Like, nobody cares. They're just happy to meet new people that have open minds and free spirits.
I would imagine that this is eye-opening for lots of women who have body image problems, and even with their partners. And so it must be very liberating for a number of women, especially because women tend to have these problems more than men. But for women to see that there are all these different shapes and sizes of bodies, all different ages, because you have people that are older people, in their 60s, right?
60s, 70s, 80s. I mean,
yeah.
from 20s to, you know, we've even seen people in their elderly years in a wheelchair. So, I mean, it really is everybody. And one of the women this week said that because all of our couples, this was their first time to hedonism. And
all of the people in your class?
All of the people in our class. Valentine's Day, we typically get a lot of new people because it's not a big swinger week, you know? So it's a great time for couples to come and really reconnect.
Yes, yeah.
And it's nice to get out of the snow.
Uh-huh.
One of the things she said was that the thing that surprised her the most about her experience there was how comfortable she felt being naked and being in her own skin for the first time in her life.
Mm-hmm. For the first time. How old a woman was she, more or less?
Probably 40s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and when one can be comfortable in one's body, one is usually a better lover, because instead of thinking about, and I've heard women say this, back in my 20s, I was guilty of it on occasion, you know, instead of thinking about your pleasure and your partner's pleasure, you're worried about the girth of your thighs or the tilt of your breasts, you know, and you can't really be present if you're worried about how your body looks to your lover.
Right.
Who probably is just, he loves you, and he's probably very happy to just have you there naked with him.
There was a great movie many years ago, and the woman asked the man, so what's foreplay for you? And he said, when she shows up.
Oh, I love that. When she shows up.
So,
good.
When she shows up. So I think once people are in a sexual environment, there's very little concern about what the other person looks like, and it's more about what's happening, what's the connection, are you feeling valued, are you receiving pleasure, are you giving pleasure? I mean, there's so much more going on that, you know, if you have a dimple in your thigh or a scar across your belly, I don't think your partner really gives a rip.
Probably not, but yeah. But females have been raised to go on typically to the, oh, there was some studies a long time ago that said there are many women who go on their first diet at age 9, and often they have mothers who are, I've worked with eating disorders, not a lot, but I used to more. And typically these women who go on their first diet at 9 have a mother who is taking them. I had a client who said this. My mother took me to Weight Watchers meetings and was just constantly thinking about food and weight gain.
So sad.
Yeah. It is so sad because our bodies are, you know, you can look at your chubby thighs and reframe it and maybe touch them and say, yeah, but, you know, my legs take me places, and they're strong, and I'm. Or if you look at your belly and you think your belly's too big, stroke your belly and say, yeah, but my stomach does its work. It's digesting food, and you know, I'm just grateful that for, you know, you don't know some of these things really until you begin to lose some with an illness or something, you lose some of your function. So be appreciative for what you have, right? And talk about it with your partner.
And, you know, we've watched in our lifetimes the trends of fashion and beauty shift so much. From being mm-hmm. super skinny to having no breasts and no hips to now being curvy and voluptuous to where women are altering their bodies to try to fit the model of beauty based on what? Based on some beauty industry style that is, it's always leaves people out rather than being all inclusive. And I love the companies like Dove and some of the other companies that are really trying to show a variety of bodies in beauty. And I think we need to celebrate diversity and not all try to look the same. My gosh, you know, it's like each body is perfect in its design.
Yes, it's so true. And your husband, and he does these classes with you, and he's a medical doctor, so we've got a PhD, you, and an MD, your husband, Mark. So he knows, from a physiological point of view, he knows a lot and how bodies... talk about Mark and what's his approach to getting naked and enjoying your body and your health. What does Mark say about
this? He has always been very lovingly accepting and actually enthusiastically accepting about my body through all of its transitions. And so I think, you know, when I've put on a few pounds and my breasts get a little fuller and I get a little bit more butt, he celebrates that. When I drop a few pounds and my breasts get a little smaller and my butt gets a little smaller, he celebrates that. So he actually kind of, you know, it's like my hair. I've changed my hair. He likes that. He likes that I'm always morphing, but it's, they're natural morphs. It's not an attempt to do something. It's just kind of natural ebb and flow of body styles and styles. And as long as, you know, he's more worried about if I'm uncomfortable in my skin, that bothers him more than what my skin is.
That's excellent. And you and Mark have kept it spicy for over 30 years.
Yeah, 35 years.
35. That's so impressive. So impressive. so, Cher, we'll get back to hedonism in a minute. But share some of your secrets for your long-term spicy marriage, because not very many people can say this.
Well, you know, honestly, I think hedonism has been a big part of that for 15 mm-hmm. years. We've been going to hedonism, and before that, we had a great relationship, but I think hedonism mm-hmm. took it, it catapulted it to a new stratosphere of greatness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have known what I was missing, but now I know. And so I want everybody else to have what I'm having, because it's so fun. We just have a super fun marriage, and we're kind to each other. I think that's the main thing. We don't take out our frustrations that we have around life on each other ever. Mm-hmm. Mark has never said a mean word to me, ever. Never raised his voice. Never criticized or insulted. You know, he's always kind. And so in like, I return that. And, you know, we work out our issues in our relationship with only each other. We don't share that with other people unless it's a professional counselor. You know, a lot of women will bitch about their husbands to their girlfriends or their, you know, or people at work. And I think that's just a first of all, there's no good that can come of that, because that person can't help your partner solve any issues with you. So it just blackens the eye of your relationship and your partner and other people, because we never really, if we're mad at my husband, I'm probably not going to speak real favorably about him to other people, right? So I think it's unfair to do that. So I've always said, if I have a problem with Mark in my relationship, the only person I'm going to is him.
Right. I wish more couples knew about this. I certainly encounter this with the couples that I counsel, where, oh, for instance, he's had an affair, and she speaks really badly about him to all of her girlfriends and sometimes to her family. And then they get counseling from me, and they are able to rebuild their marriage and have some new ground rules and new understandings, and they get back together. But she has sullied the perception of him to her girlfriends and perhaps even to her family. So it's just a bad idea. Keep it for the therapist and for your partner. I think that's such good advice from Dr. Nancy and also from Dr. Diana. So do that. Yes. Keep it contained.
Yeah, I mean, I think your relationship has to hold its own integrity, and it's really hard to do that if people are undermining it behind the scenes. And when you're complaining about your relationship to other people, it does undermine the relationship. If you're really struggling, go speak to a counselor who's completely unbiased and sees you both and hears you both and works with you both equally. Because just hearing one side of any story never gives you the full story.
Never does. That's really good advice, Dr. Nancy.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. Well, you're so articulate, and I have always appreciated you. We've had dinner together with Dr. Ava, who was on this program 2 weeks ago, and I'm now, many listeners have realized this, I'm now doing shows every 2 weeks, not every Tuesday, so every 2 weeks. But she was on, and we celebrated a big milestone birthday for you a couple of years ago, and that was a lot of fun. So I know you personally. I know you to be a good person and a fun person.
Thank you. That's high
praise, welcome.
Diana. You're amazing. You're just an amazing woman and a human being, and I'm always honored to have any moment of time with you.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for a compliment back, but thank you. I'll take it in.
Yes.
You know, actually, that brings up another point in couples' relationships. The ability to receive pleasure or compliments, or maybe we put compliments first and then pleasure, to be able to take it in and make the most of it. Some people just... usually they have come out of families of origin where there was maybe trauma and they didn't have secure attachments. So it's hard. It's hard to feel that they're worthy of fun and pleasure and play, and they have a very well-developed inner critic. I talk about transactional analysis, the ego states, the parent, the adult, and the child. And some people have extremely well-developed critical parent ego states. When you're in your parent ego state, it can either be the critical parent or the nurturing parent, where you're taking care of a sick spouse or a child. But the critical parent is the, you know, envision that person with a finger, index finger out. You should do it this way. You ought to do it that way. And then there's the adult ego state, and we're in our adult ego states right now, in the moment, exchanging information. And then the child ego state, which is your playful, silly child, just having a good time, no beginning, middle, and an end. This is where you ideally should be in your playful child. There's also the rebellious child with the arms crossed in front of his or her chest saying, well, fuck you, I'm not going to do that. But so often people will drink a lot of alcohol to put the critical parent to sleep so that the child can come out to play. It's really hard for some people to come out to play because of that critical parent. In fact, in my chapter on Laugh and Play Together in my book, Love in the Time of Corona, I give a case study of a couple. I call them Roger and Jenny. And she really craved lots more excitement in their lovemaking. But he had trouble. He thought sex was a pretty serious undertaking. And they didn't laugh much. Part of the counseling was to get them laughing together and watching some fun comedies and playing an enchanting evening, a board game that I like so much. And slowing down. It's all about slowing down and talking and about being silly together. In the original word in Old English was saleg, S-A-E-L-I-G. And the original word did not mean silly, did not mean ridiculous or trivial. Saleg meant prosperous, happy, and healthy. So clearly, occasional silliness can help you enjoy all of those blessings. Let's hear it for silliness and play.
Yes. One of the things that Mark and I teach in our workshop is the art of giving and receiving in a session. So oftentimes people, when you say you're going to be sexual or sensual, it's I give you something and you give it back to me, or we receive it simultaneously. And I think when you're trying to do, when you're having mutual pleasure, there's a different level of connection to your own pleasure when you're also thinking about what you're giving to your partner. So we
say more about that. That's a very interesting point, Nancy. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I would love to. So yes. We teach to periodically separate those out. So I might say, tonight's my night to give. And so I will set up a scene, maybe the massage table, maybe to do a sexy dance, and just give pleasure to Mark. So all he has to do is be in the receptive mode. He can, mm-hmm. I can give him a massage. I can, give him a happy ending or whatever
yep.
I want to give him without expecting anything back. He can just mm-hmm. relax and let me take care of him. And then maybe in a few days, he'll flip the script and do that for me. So that we can really just bask in receiving and just totally let your mind go, let your body experience, and not be thinking, how long is it going to last? Am I going to have to, you know, muscle up some energy to give back? You know, you can let all of that go, and you can just totally receive this gift. And it really adds a lot of spice to a day without having to wipe both of you out.
Without having to what?
Wipe both of you out.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bask in receiving. So that if somebody's working with an overactive inside critical parent that doesn't really believe that they deserve to play and laugh and have fun, probably some psychotherapy would be useful to quiet that inner critic, because I'm such a fortunate woman because I came from parents who were passionately playful with each other, and they were so playful and affectionate and demonstrative with my sister and me, and it just made such a difference to have that kind of secure attachment. So I've always been naturally playful, and I didn't have to work extra hard to overcome that inner critic, because I've had more confidence as a result of getting a lot of positive attention growing up, and strokes for being cheerful and happy. My mother said that as a 3-year-old, even, I was just constantly dancing around, laughing. And so I have a very naturally playful child, which expresses itself well, sexually speaking. And my husband's very happy about that. And he's also playful. And it makes such a difference. But some people need to get some help for this, to overcome, right? And maybe let's take this back to hedonism, being in a place where pleasure is the centerpiece, the emphasis, can make a difference for people to get started on this journey. Can you talk more about that?
Oh, exactly. And I think just the conversations that people have before they go to hedonism bring some of that up to the surface. Like, what is it that you're looking for? You know, most people go with some kind of intention that they want to find that playful inner child and explore their sensuality. I mean, if you watch children, everything they do is sensual. They're always touching, feeling, tasting, smelling, rolling around in. They're involving all of their senses to experience life in that moment. And that's really what hedonism teaches us, and that's what my classes do, is we do a lot of sensory play. So it's exploring yourself and your partner in a new framework that many people are not familiar with, which is great because they don't have a preconceived judgment about it.
Yeah. And you have the advantage of being able to interact and observe your grandchildren. And I haven't been able to see mine for almost a year because they live in Canada and the border is closed. But the thing about children is, you're right, they just engage in play for its own sake without any goal in mind. And that's actually called unstructured play. Mm-hmm. And of course, kids usually love dreaming up their own activities without adult guidance or intervention. And so you've witnessed this. I have too. Children just simply playing. And it can really benefit the child's development, their self-esteem, their social competence, their sensory stimulation, their creativity, their imagination, and more. But it's also play is so important for adults and learning. But haven't you enjoyed watching your grandchildren play and see all of the developmental benefits of it?
Oh my gosh, yes. That's probably one of our greatest joys. We call it the dessert of parenting, being grandparents and really getting to sit back and relax and enjoy the moments with them without worrying about the moments to come. And I think that's part of what I watched hedonism do for people that go there, is that it allows them a pause from life and a pause with their partner and or just with themselves, because a lot of single people go there too, to really just sit with, what is it that makes me happy? What is it that brings me joy? What makes me feel contentment or exuberant or whatever they're looking for more of? And you can pretty much, you know, make your fantasies come true there. And even if it's just the nervousness of walking out onto a beach for the first time naked or with a string bikini on, you know, I mean, it's just exploring your own boundaries and on your own time frame. There's no pressure, which is really lovely.
Oh, I can see that it can be, it would be transformative. You mentioned singles going there, and I did look at the Hedonism website, and of course, there's a mention of singles. And can you explain that a little bit more? You may not have as many singles Valentine's Day weekend, but you do other times. Like there's another Hedonism time that I guess you'll be going to in June.
Yes.
But talk about singles and Hedonism.
Well, June is actually more of a singles week, and it's primarily, I gear the program more towards single women, but the men benefit greatly who come for that, even single men and even couples, because it's about honoring women and learning how to honor the goddess and be with women who are evolving and who are exploring and how to hold that space for them so they feel safe to do that. And so singles can come and just really open up their curiosity. Whether they want to be sexual or not is irrelevant. Sometimes they just want to come and have an introspective week where there's no pressure to do anything. They're very appreciated. It's all about respect, boundaries, consent. So you don't have to worry. I've been there as a single woman. You know, Mark doesn't always travel with me to Jamaica.
Yes.
I've been there solo, and I have felt completely safe and completely respected. Mm-hmm. So women can come to these events and really get a lot out of it. And single men go, oftentimes single men go with a misperception that everybody there wants to have sex with them. And they're schooled very quickly. And there's a zero tolerance policy for any kind of abuse, assault, not accepting no as the final answer. And, you know, so they're very protective of women there, which is I found quite lovely. And so it's a great place for a group of girlfriends to go. Oh, my gosh, we've had some of the most fun with girl groups that show up and just want to cut loose and lay naked on the beach and, you know, sleep in late and do whatever they want to do. It's a beautiful resort on a beautiful beach in the Caribbean. So you can't go wrong with all that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I opened the show by talking about how 38% of in the survey, 38% of people would give up sex for a year if they could go on a trip. So many people are really have quarantine fatigue, and they're just dying to go on a trip. So in the environment of Jamaica, wow, it's so romantic producing and relaxing for singles and girls trips, that's a little different, but they can cut loose and they can learn about what do they learn in classes for singles? Tell us about that.
Well, they learn how to ask for what they want. You know, a lot of women don't know how to ask for what they want. And so they might ask in a way that can be off-putting. And so we do a lot of practice on asking specifically for what you want and also how to read body language, how to interpret safety, and how to be a more empowered woman in the world and that they have, that each one of them has a birthright to pleasure.
And oh, yes, indeed. Yes, okay, birthright to pleasure.
Yeah.
So are there single guys that show up, and are they integrated into the single classes, and are there ever any... Good, yeah, I would figure. And are there ever, hookups that go beyond hookups? And, you know, maybe it's more than just a hookup? Or does that happen? I don't know what happens.
I mean, I think that happens rarely because people come from all over the world. So geography makes it a little difficult. But one thing I can say is that the friendships that people develop during these weeks are forever. I mean, some of my current best friends I've met at Hedonism over the last 15 years, and they are some of my closest friends. And there's never been anything sexual. I mean, it's just their friendships, and they're powerful.
Yes.
Because you meet in this environment where you truly are your most authentic self. And so you're going to...
You can't hide anything if you're... For one thing, if you're naked on the beach, you can't hide anything psychically either. You can feel that I can be myself, my authentic self.
Well, you're spending a week with people, and it's not a massive resort. You know, they have 380 rooms, so it's not a massive amount of people. So you're spending an entire week, and when you come with a group, it's a very intimate week because we travel together through the day. So we're all at the beach together. We're having dinner together. We're in seminars together. We're drinking and celebrating together. We're running the beach. We're hugging. I mean, it's a very affectionate group. Now, this year will be COVID. Hopefully, everybody will be vaccinated. That's what we're pushing for, is to make sure everybody's vaccinated who comes. Because there is this desire to be in people's space and to love on your friends, you know. And so it's a very loving, supportive environment for people to just cut loose and be loved for exactly who they are without any expectation of that they should be different.
This is so healthy. And, of course, yes, everybody being vaccinated is something that... we all wish for. You've had one vaccination, I understand. Your husband's had both. A great relief. So, and Brian and I do plan to travel more once, probably still a few months away, even after we have both doses. But if we were tempted to go to Hedonism, and I am tempted, and I... After our discussion yesterday, I talked to Brian about this, and he's open to it too. So, so what would be the steps that people need to take? You're going to give us the website, and I'm going to put it up on the show notes. But what are the steps that would take that people can take if they want to actually reserve a space?
What I would suggest people do is to contact me. I've been a keto ambassador for 15 years, so I've helped people find the week and the environment that they're seeking, because every week at Hedonism can have a little different personality based on the group events that are going on there. It's not like if you went to, you know, the Four Seasons, it would be the same every week. So Hedonism does have a little different personality and a little different clientele, different parts of the year. So I would want to have a conversation with people. So I just ask people, email me through my website, which is drnsp.com, and tell me what they're looking for. You know, that they're a single or they're a couple. What are they hoping for? What would they like to have happen in a exotic lifestyle retreat? And then I can help guide them to the time of year that would be the best for them. And it also depends on their budget, because winter is more expensive, summer is less expensive. So it's just, I've been doing that for 15 years, so I can very easily help guide them to a week that would be. And then I can even help book their trip. I have an affiliate with the resort, so I can even go online and help, I can book the trip for them. I'm not a travel agent, but I do work. I don't work for the resort, but I do work with them. So that's just, you know, and also if they want to go to Desire, I can help them, you know, book a trip to Desire. So there's because there's so few resorts like this in the world that are really focused on freedom, sexual freedom and respect. And so,
oh, I love that. That's we're close to the end of the program. So that's, tell us that again one more time. Focus on desire and respect, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's personal desire, consent, respect, and sexual freedom.
Yeah. So what about Desire? I'd forgotten that there was another one. Where is Desire?
Desire has two in Cancun, and those are couples only. They don't allow singles. That company has another resort called Temptation, also in Cancun, and that one is singles and couples. It's not clothing optional. It's topless optional. And it's a little different. It's a younger group, typically a little bit more of a party group, rather than seminars. And you know, it's not taking people as deep as some of the things that I do at Hedonism.
Well, I'm all for what you do, and for it just sounds like the perfect combination of freedom, sunshine, nice beaches, romantic environment, learning some things about relationships from our wonderful Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce. I mean, you are very wise and so open-hearted, and you want the best for people, and people get that. So it's nice that they can go to your website and contact you so that they can have a personal connection to guide them to the right week that they might want to go for, that where they're depending upon their expectations and what they want.
It's like I provide a little bit of a concierge service because I really want people to have the very best possible experience for them when they go, because it can be a very triggering experience. It's going to bring up things for people that they might not be prepared for. So that's also why I teach a class called Hedo Life 101 at the beginning of every seminar or every retreat that I do. So people have the lingo, they have some awareness of what triggers might occur and then how to process those.
But what might be a very common trigger? We'll see if we can get this in before the end of the show.
Jealousy. I think jealousy is the one that comes up most for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then how to use that to make your relationship stronger. So I'll plant that seed, because jealousy doesn't have to be a detriment. It can be a catalyst of positive change.
Mm. There's the music. Perfect timing. Dr. Nancy, thank you so much. I'll have
Always
you back
a pleasure.
Again in a few months, and this was just a really fun, informative show. Thank you so much. And I hope listeners will consider hedonism, either just doing more of that or actually going to the resort.
Yes.
Thanks again, Nancy.
Thank you, Diana. Be well.
You too. Be well, everybody. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.